Interview with Theodore Roosevelt Wilson, September 20th, 2002.
I came here in June of 1994.
Okay.
So,
this is off
not
the
very
tape.
Long.
This is off the tape for a little while.
Oh.
At one time, this was called Tin Top Road.
Okay, so we're at Crane and Gamble, but it was Tin Top Road.
Right. One, two, three. I was born in a fourth house, right here. That's where we lived until I was 11 years old. And one time there was a big two-story house that sit right here.
At the very end of the road. Okay. Who lived in the two-story house?
The Twitties.
Name I've heard.
Well, Twitty, he was a Donaldson. Mr. Ennie Donaldson. He worked for college.
Okay. That's Sylvia and Julia.
It's always been a headache when it comes to turning around up in here. This has always been a dead end. And see, to go uptown, we always came down through here. We used to cut up. We used to go out of your path, go up through there.
Over to Eden Street? There used to be a church over there, right?
Yeah, I'll take you around that way.
Okay. Were there this many houses on Eden Street? These are new ones.
Is there what?
The houses, these backyards were looking
at. That house wasn't there. Okay.
So you could just cut through here and go over the railroad tracks to get to downtown?
Right.
Brothers and sisters did you have?
Were you
the first?
There was two. Okay. I'm the oldest son. I had a sister that was Elizabeth. She still lives here in Davidson. She's Elizabeth Smith now.
I've met her. Yeah. They're on town day once. Okay. And that's it? You and your sister?
Elizabeth Smith. And then, okay, she's the oldest girl. I'm next. And then we had a sister named Gloria. And then I have a brother named Odell.
Now, did you go to Ada Jenkins?
I went to Ada Jenkins. Well, Ada Jenkins, Davidson Elementary.
Okay, so it was Davidson Elementary when you
were there. Up until eighth grade.
Do you remember the names of any of your teachers?
Well, that was Miss Balkum. Miss Brown was a first grade teacher. Miss Balkum, Miss Brown taught about three generations of people.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Balkum. How can I get this in order? Okay, there was a teacher by the name of Miss Stevenson. Mr. Polk, he was a principal one time. And when I was in eighth grade, Mr. Harris, he came up, he was principal.
Was Margaret Byers there when you were there?
Huh?
Margaret Byers?
Is that what?
Margaret Byers. Did she teach when you were there?
No, she didn't teach in there.
Okay. So what were your classes like? Do you remember going to class? What was it like?
Classes? Mm-hmm. Oh, typical reading, writing, arithmetic, geology, history.
How many people were in your grade when you just left in the eighth grade?
I would say approximately maybe 20 or 25.
Did they have any kind of ceremony when you graduated in the eighth grade? Did you do anything here? You just went to Huntersville next?
Well, you know the church was right back there.
Okay, so the church was at the end of, this is Eden Street now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you go to this church or did you go to?
No, I go to Davidson Presbyterian when I was here.
Okay. Was there a difference in the community?
What?
If you went to Davidson Presbyterian or if you went to the Amy Zion, was there any one of them was considered to be a more elite church than the other, or?
Well, Davidson Presbyterian then was the elite church. It was the biggest church. It was the most popular church. used to be a big house that sits right there. You used to come here, go down to there, the path there over to the
Methodist Church?
Across the railroad track over to Main Street. Those were wheat fields.
Where Duke Tower is now was wheat fields?
When I came up, those were wheat fields. That field there, the field across there, where they have
where the soccer fields are now?
Mm-hmm. From here down was a pastor. The guy had cows in it.
Wow. So sort of gamble down to Sloan, this pasture area.
Okay. I don't know when they put that addition to it, but it wasn't that one. Okay.
So the gym wasn't on there.
Yeah. And this is what they call the neck.
The neck, okay. Yeah, an interesting intersection with about three streets.
There used to be a house sitting there, there's a house there. Mm-hmm. Miss Anna Falls, she worked for the boarding house, she built this store.
In the Falls, built the store?
In the Falls.
And what, grocery store?
And Mr. Ralph Johnson, he had a little grocery store there.
Okay. In the crossroads. Okay.
All these houses are here, with the exception of, I think that one's still there. Miss Edna used to live right there.
On 133? What happened to her store?
To her down there. Johnson, people didn't patronize him.
I knew that people didn't go to Ralph Johnson's store, but this is the first time I've ever heard about Edna Falls' store.
Say that again.
I knew about Ralph Johnson's store, but I didn't know about her store.
But Miss Edna,
yeah.
She used to have a little old store where she sold drinks, candy, you know, small items.
Oh, okay. It wasn't a real grocery store, it was more like a five and dime kind
snack
of
shop.
Snack
shop. But anyway, we were not allowed on the school ground to come to her store.
Ah, so how did you get there? After hours or?
It used to be a community center.
Okay.
That community center sit.
I know it sat on the Ada Jenkins ground somewhere, but I don't know precisely where.
Well, anyway, the community center was sitting probably about where that road is.
Okay, Mark and Brandon.
Okay, they used to have what they call an old school building. The first school building was sitting right in there.
Okay.
It had three rooms.
Three rooms, and it was, looked like a house, sort of just a one-story, was it wooden or brick?
Wooden. Well, it had a classrooms on each end. It had a stage in the center where you could have a little shows, okay?
Oh, neat.
Once upon a time, there was a house sitting right here. And a lady named Miss Smith lived in this house, and we used to have ball games here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where the gym is was the ball field.
Okay.
And who did you play?
Huh?
Did you just play each other? Were there other elementary schools? Did you play Cornelius?
Huntersville or Cornelius.
And was this like eighth grade up, or was this when you
no, were... No, I mean, when I was talking about the ball field, that was just something during the holiday. They just play ball.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. To the neighborhood playground where you could come out. And so what were the popular games?
That was the only place you could play.
Yeah, with all the pastures around, I guess they didn't really want you playing ball in the wheat field.
Well,
now, what were the games? Did people play football? Were you playing baseball? What were you playing? Your own games?
You're so far ahead of yourself that, that was it.
That was it?
You played out there on the school ground, you didn't have anywhere else to play. Period. Sometime we'll come down here and walk up through here, all this dirt road, to go uptown. All the houses are the same, with the exception the church used to be right in there.
Okay.
The Methodist Church.
Methodist Church, where about 219 is. Now, is that the church that got moved? I get confused, but I know the church sat here.
What are you asking me now?
The building. What happened to the church building?
They
tore it down.
Well,
so,
after the church was so old, out of brick, they began to fall. The members bought the property over here and
right.
built over there.
Okay. But they moved that. That church is from another place. Reed's Temple, they didn't build. They picked up and moved.
Wait a minute. I'm wrong. Let me back up. Okay, the Baptist church. That was Amy's Island
Church. Okay, that's right. So this is Baptist on Eden Street. Right?
That was, I'm wrong. Anyway. The people there bought the church over here. And the people that had the Baptist church on the dead end street, they built over here in the corner. What it called? I forget the name of that.
Gethsemane? Gethsemane's on Jaton. Gethsemane church is on Jaton, but is that where they moved first? I get these confused. I've got a file that says. No one.
They bought this church from the white because all this was white.
Yeah, because this was the Unity Church. This was the Mill Church, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll call it the Mill Church. Okay, Reed to Baby Zion was down there where I said there's no church at all. That's where we just came up the hill.
Okay, so at the end of Eden? On Eden Street? Or on the end of Crane?
I'm not following. Y'all don't hear where.
Okay. Where did the Amy Zion Church meet before they moved to this building?
Nowhere.
Okay. So they started here. The Baptist.
After they moved from where we came up the hill, and I said the houses were.
Yeah.
They bought this church and they tore that one down.
Okay.
The Baptist, they bought the property and they tore the church down over there and moved up here.
Okay.
Right here is where my sister lives.
Okay. Liz Smith?
Liz Smith.
Okay.
She's been trying to sell that property, but nobody wants to give anything for it, so. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They want to sell it for a lot. Anybody that wants to buy it cheap and sell it.
I don't know what anybody want to give her for it, and what she want to pay for it, but, what she want for it. She's too old to work to buy a house. All along here were houses.
Okay. We're still back on Jackson Street. But did the street go through? I have maps that don't show this road going through until about 1980. So it was just a dirt road?
Just a dirt road. There were houses along here. Black people lived along here, where there was houses. Okay, the college eventually just moved them out. Up here on the corner was, one time they say it was a cafe, but black people lived on the corner. Either Bowles's and the Brights and the Currents lived right in here with the house.
Okay, so they were on this side, the parking lot side, rather than the Jasper side.
Right.
Right. Okay. Because the jail at one time was here, but I guess by then it was gone. It was down at the town hall.
Where was the jail?
Right here.
Okay, the jail was here. Dewey's had his restaurant down there. Anderson Food Store. No, Dewey's had Dolly's Donuts.
Right.
And then Clayton Grocery was in between at one time. And then Anderson Food Store. And right there was the first post office in that building. The post office moved from there down here, from down there to up here. And now it is back down there.
We have had the most mobile, I hate it when someone says, it was near the post office, because you don't know where that is, because you have to know where the post office was that year. Now, do you remember the hotel at all? The Maxwell?
The hotel?
Yeah, before this one. Were the Village Inn?
No, it was just rooms up there, but it wasn't really
working anymore.
No. See, well, all of this was the Five and Dime, and it wasn't near this large, but Fanny ran the Five and Dime.
Now, did you go in the Five and Dime? Could you buy candy there and free comic books?
We could go to Five and Dime. Okay. The places where blacks didn't go very much, you wasn't really run out. But well, I worked for Dewey's at one time in his college restaurant when I was going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did not serve blacks out the front, not until some of the college students. Well, maybe until, I guess after I finished school. This was a drugstore.
Tom Clark Museum, mm-hmm.
That was Mr. Corcoran's place. We was a barbershop. You had another drugstore right in here.
Okay.
They sold Sundays. They didn't care about blacks coming in there.
Okay.
That was still the same. This used to be a soda shop.
Mm-hmm.
You could not go in and sit down. There's a gas station right there.
Right, with pumps right where the bridal shop is. I've seen it.
The shoe shop, the bank. A brown watch shop, Goodham's and all of them were along here. Plus, they had a fire station.
Mm-hmm.
The just the one time Withers Electric,
mm-hmm.
and then the Crosby Cars, the library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll back up a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
You couldn't go in the drugstore and sit down. You couldn't go in the soda shop. They prefer you didn't go in and sit down. They would serve you, but you couldn't sit down. Okay, that was a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather died. That was the first black party he ever had.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was a church.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss, can't think of her name right now, but she worked at the bank. She was pregnant.
Louise Sloan?
Hmm?
Now, Louise Sloan's house, he just passed a little while ago.
Yes, who was that?
Louise Sloan.
Oh, we passed Louise Sloan's house way down.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, the lady worked in the bank. Mm-hmm. I mean, one time I was working for a trucking company. I came in the bank. Okay, my mother babysat all her children. She knew my father, she knew my mother. I went in. She was working for the tapes, too. I went in with a check about $300, and they said, we can't cash it. They would not cash my brother's. We were working trucking. They would not cash the checks. I didn't take y'all on the south side of where the Wetchcon was. But anyway, we moved from the country down here. Used to be Dewey's bought a house. It was right there. I forgot. Miss Proctor used to be our lady. Had a polio. She walked with a crutch. They called her a ghost.
The pot still right there. You live down on Pot Street, or did you live?
Pot Street.
Okay. Now, this must have been out in the country.
When we first moved down here, this was a cotton field. Then they raised some corn, and then it grew up the way it is now. Okay, this is the house we moved in.
Okay.
In this house, my father did all that underpinning, the best
all
he could.
Time.
This front was, like this street with a sprig of grass in it. He planted all these bushes, that's all these trees. He planted all that stuff in the back. And
then you must have had a garden here?
Hmm?
Did you have a garden?
He had a garden. He had flowers. One of the most beautiful flowers you could see. Maybe I should have one time, well, sometime I'll bring up pictures I have of his roses.
Oh, yeah.
It was a house built down there.
The, on the other side of the road?
Probably where that gully is. But anyway, they built this house out of slabs. And after they built it, you could walk by and see the people inside. So finally they put this artificial brick stuff on it. Eventually the house got moved to right here.
Okay.
Our presbytery minister sold my father this house. And actually, my father...
the minister at Davidson Presbyterian Church?
Mm-hmm. Reverend B was sold in his house. Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
They can go around.
But anyway, he cut the property line right there.
Mm-hmm. Right at the driveway?
Right at the driveway. Because that driveway is on this man's property.
Oh, okay.
Where that truck is.
Oh, so
is.
It's really the property line is at the side of the house. It doesn't include the driveway.
Right. The property line runs on an angle. Okay. Okay. Where the truck is, he's on his property, I think, now.
Yeah. Okay.
But that me was built an apartment house for the people that were living there. And after he died, my father told me that he wanted to buy it. But he finally got it from his wife after Rev died, but Rev was a trickster. Actually, when my father bought it, he should have got this, this, and all of this. But Rev cut it up into pieces and sold it like that. This brick house wasn't here when we moved down here. It was a big white house that I could walk on, and we used to shoot marbles on it. They had steep stairs, and they had about, I guess, about 5 or 6 rooms.
And it was Dr. Walker?
Hmm?
Who was Dr. Walker? Who owned?
Dr. Walker. Did I say Dr. Walker?
Mm-hmm.
No, I said I could walk underneath
the house.
Oh, you
could walk, underneath it, okay.
That's
okay.
How high it was up off the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Crawford Jones, he worked for the college. He retired. And after he retired, he never worked another lick for anybody. The man lived there about 90 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
93.
And he lived in that house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Crawford Dawes?
Crawford Donison.
Donison, okay.
That was a pride and joy, that big house there and that lawn. Nobody ever wanted to mow it. I think I mowed it a couple times, Rick Lee, once or twice. All of this is still the same. I mean, the same houses,
okay.
Whatever.
South Lane hadn't changed much.
Well, you know about the oil mill.
Mm-hmm. Did you know people who worked at the mill? Oil mill?
Well, yeah, I knew a few people. Claude Donaldson.
Why didn't you work at the mill?
I wasn't a slave.
Like,
I wasn't old enough.
Wasn't old enough, and then did you go into trucking out of school or?
When I got out of school, I got a job at Marita Bakery.
Okay.
I worked for Marita until we got the union in. We got the union in, all the first person fired.
Oh no.
Okay, once you got a union in a place, well then somebody's got to go. They brought a guy from Rome, Georgia, as plant manager. I'm the only guy out of Davidson that's working at Marita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I'm saying is this, that people resent people sometimes. People are prejudiced about their own race or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't very well liked, so he kept picking off me and picking off me. And so they put in a new oven. And he told me I had to not miss one loaf of bread and go into the proof box and get back up to the oven and put that bread in. I guess I had to go about from here to that sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he came by and said, well, look, you're fired.
Ah.
I had a hearing. It was in Cornelius. They told me I got the letter home to be there at 1 o'clock. They had the hearing at 12 for the people from Marita and Social Security. When I got there at 1, somebody that was there and they said, well, look, you're an hour late. I still got the letter.
Oh, my.
But oh, by the way, I was telling you that the guy that ran the guy was inside the post office. This is hearsay. Said there will never be blacks working at the post office. I don't really have any blacks working at the post office. No, I'm not. But he was at the station that day.
Mm-hmm.
But he said there would never be a black working in that post office as long as he was over the post office. Because Harold Houston wanted a job.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Charlotte. He wanted to transfer up here, and he couldn't transfer.
Now, you lived in Davidson when you were at Marita. Did you drove back and forth, or how did you, when you worked for Marita, did you live up here, or did you drive?
I drove I had a car. My father always, his theory was, if you got a job, you need a car. So, why work without a car? I mean, they ran buses, but the type of hours you had working at the bakery wasn't, you couldn't hardly ride a bus. You could too, but you would spend about 15 hours on a 9-hour day transportation. You could thumb, all that kind of stuff. But
what were the roads like?
Okay, I tried to buy a house in here. What about a lot?
Okay, on Lakeside.
This was when you had to go up to the upper mill and put an application.
Okay.
So I'll show you the lot I want to buy, and the man said, well, in order for you to buy that lot, you need to have 9 children on your salary.
They could tell you the number of children you were supposed to have? They could tell you the number of children you were supposed to have.
I didn't get that.
They could actually tell you that they thought you should have that many children.
You told me I had to have 9. I want to buy this lot right here because I want to build a 2-story house where kids could have room up there and I could have room downstairs. But I really blew it because being a veteran, I could have borrowed money and got what I wanted. I borrowed money and got this house.
Ooh. So somebody likes doing a Halloween and Thanksgiving celebration.
Halloween last year. See, well done. The economy was that they didn't want you making more money than the people in Davis.
So since you were working in Charlotte for the rate of making more money than anybody working for the college or?
Right. The college, I mean, people work for the college and whatnot, and you couldn't really get anywhere not fast. I didn't know I had all of this.
Yeah, these are the bungalows. This is the new housing. It's low-income housing, designed, I think, in part to help people they rent, and then so they can save up enough to build and to buy homes. But, yeah, this is the housing.
You know where the church is right here.
Yeah, Gethsemane's right down here on the top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly a pretty popular church up here. I mean, regardless of what church you belong to, every church, and people got their ways. I mean, some people, even in Charlotte, churches have their ways, people have their ways, whatever. It doesn't pay you to go from one church to another looking for something different because you aren't going to hardly find anything different. What can I say? I mean, Davidson has improved, in a sense, the way Davidson want to improve, but Davidson is a college town, always will be a college town, and that's just it. By the way, you could go check the next door and go all the way over to Tom's shop, but the Lakers
there. Oh, that's right, yeah, you used to be able to. It's hard to imagine since I've been here since the lake has been in place to realize that, you know, one time Davidson did have a different boundary and you could.
Now, what did I miss that you want to know about?
Okay, well, let's see. Tell me a little bit more just about your family and what it was like living in Davidson. Did your father or mother have family here? Did you have lots of cousins?
No, we had no relatives in Davidson. Okay, my father, he was born and raised in Bowling Green, South Carolina. His mother died when his last sister was born. And his aunts took the girls, but they didn't want the boys. He had two brothers, Uncle Andrew and Uncle Price. Okay. So a lady named, my father called her Miss Hattie, she took them and she started migrating from South Carolina up through by Gastonia Kings Mountain and on up by Hickory, Staple, until they got to Woodleaf, North Carolina. Never heard of Woodleaf.
I've never heard of Woodleaf.
And up in Woodleaf, I guess my father said he was about 15 years old, 16 years old. So my father said one year they had an acre of cotton. She gave him an acre of cotton, mm-hmm. So he sold his cotton and he bought a car. He bought him a T-Model. In the meantime, because Aunt Hattie bought her a T-Model. So she made him, told him to take his T-Model back. They because the white folks would think they were big shot Negroes with two cars.
Okay.
So after that, my
his what jacket?
Wait a minute.
Okay. Isn't it amazing? I mean, sometimes it's like the entire country is coming towards an intersection.
Called it a bum jacket.
A bum jacket.
You know why he called it a bum jacket? Because it was a denim jacket. You know denim a lot.
Yeah.
Denim jacket with a lander in it.
Mm-hmm.
And bums, people bumming around warm. Well, he said he took his bum jacket, his denim bucket, denim box, whatever he had, and he left and moved into a Santa car. You don't know what a Santa car is either.
No, would it be a car someone actually lived out of, sort of like people do now, or?
A Santa car was a box car.
Okay, railroad car, yeah.
Painted gray, it had windows, yeah. And a stovepipe in it.
And where was this? Still in Woodleaf, or where was this box car?
It was sitting on the side and up, up by Woodleaf next to the rock. They got a rock where they've been digging rock out for 90 years. But anyway, that's when he met my mother right down the street. Okay, so he had the bum jacket, the dinner bucket, and that's all he had. He slept down on the floor, whatever, until he could make a payday or whatever. So finally, he started dating my mother, going to see her. And they finally got married about 1931, I think it was. And they decided to close out the, section up there. Mm-hmm. The guy that worked on the railroad. So they told him the only opening they had was down here in Cornelius. So that meant he had to come to Cornelius. So they came to Davidson and moved in with, I forget who, over on the hill. They rent a room, they stayed there for a while until that house became open.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, well, then they moved in this house and he started progressing up. I mean, his sister stayed with him a while. I think both his sisters stayed with him at one point. Then Uncle Price stayed with him a while because Uncle Price was working at the sawmill. And a man he used to take dimes and things like that to make rings out of them.
Okay.
That was pretty popular back then. But anyway, finally Uncle Price went up the wall and he left. He never came back, but he came back to Davidson, but he never lived with us.
Okay.
He lived in what they call the parsonage out there, which is up above. Then it was Miss Johnson had that brick house built. But after the, my father was went in service, okay, he was working for the railroad, and so something he didn't like. So he told the guy he was gonna quit. So they had the, what did they call it? Right hand Davidson, Anthony. The man said, if you quit, we're gonna have you put in service.
Ooh. Oh, the selective service or the draft people were for the war, World War II?
World War II, okay, my father was 30, what? He was 33 or 34 years old. What they had is 1A classification came up. He went in service, so he said that while he was out, he was going in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
say, but my father's always been sort of impatient, man. But anyway, so somebody said, what bus is leaving first? The man said, Navy bus. He on Navy bus. He ended up in the Navy. He said the guys called him old man because he was the oldest thing in there. But he ended up being something like a steward, a captain, what would you call it? Anyway, all he did was kept the captain. Well,
yeah,
man.
Oh, so he probably was a steward. Yeah, I wasn't a military, but yeah, he was sort of the aide to the captain.
No, all he did, okay, in the dining room, he kept the little room where they ate.
Oh, okay.
He kept that in order. That's all he did the whole time he was in Navy.
Well, that's not a bad thing to have to do if you were in the Navy. Well, in the Philippines, it could be rough.
He was in the Philippines, so he spent.
At least no one was shooting at him.
No, he was in the CB's on CB outfit, but he was in the Philippines, and he stayed there about 23 months. Came back home. He took basic in Great Lakes and went to Naval Base in California. I didn't know what it was. I don't know whether it's Fort Ord or whatever, but Fort Ord may be Army, but anyway. I heard the guys talk about it so much, but anyway, he said, he got out, he said, if I had been a single man, I would have never come back to North Carolina. He said, but since he had a family, he came back to North Carolina. He came back, and okay, they put those houses up for sale over there. I would say about a couple months after he got out of service. So he said he wasn't buying because there wasn't enough property. They wanted too much for him. Well, back then, they were renting for $8 a month. Light bill wasn't, but about $1 a head. Water was $1.
But how much did you earn an hour? I mean, you probably weren't making very much. That could be expensive rent if you're.
You know what they were making? I asked them one time, I said, Dad, what was you making back in those days? And I thought he said 40 cents or 50 cents an hour.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because I know. I started working for what they call him, Mo Reed. He had the SO service station here. They lived out in Concourse Street. I started working for his wife. She loved azaleas. Back then when azaleas were small bush, but I used to work for her for 50 cents an hour. Rake leaves, cut the grass, or whatever.
Was this while you were in school?
And I used to work for the Fliggers. Hello. I used to work for the Woods.
The doctor?
Not the doctor, but a professor.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Doing yard work mostly? Doing yard work? Is that?
Yeah. Well, Miss Flager would have you washing windows, waxing the floor, put the wax on it, paste wax on, take a cloth and a brick and polish it, wash the windows with was it ammonia or kerosene?
Probably ammonia.
With newspaper.
Yeah.
But Miss Flicker was from one of the islands, and she was a stingy woman. she was stingy, but.
So what did you do with all the money you earned on these jobs?
Oh, what money? You didn't make them on $1 a head. You go to the movie in Canadians was 9 cents, popcorn was a nickel, ice cream cone, one dip was a nickel. Sodas was a nickel or whatever, I mean.
So you could go to the movies if you worked a couple of hours.
For a couple of hours? Well, you only went to the movies. We only caught the matinee, that was a Saturday. From 12 or 1 until about 3 or 4 o'clock. And that was it, I mean, there wasn't anything else to do.
Now, did you have cars then to go down? Did you have to walk to Cornelius? How did you get to the movie in Cornelius?
Well, we walked.
Where was the movie in Cornelius? Can you describe where it was? Because no one's ever told me where that theater was. I know where it is in Davidson, but. Uh-oh, you have to drive me? You can't just say it's on the corner where Food Lion is?
No. Let's see if I can tell you. I think the building is still there. Mm-hmm. If you go into Cornelius, there used to be a railroad track that ran across from Reed Brothers or the Mill. There's a laundry that sits down in that flat. I think they got an antique shop.
Yes, like Mayhew's antique shop used to be there. I think it's something else now, but Do you know where James Rayford has his barbershop now in Cornelius?
No.
Okay. Because I think it's right behind that. Is it close to the fire department where the Cornelius Fire Department is now?
Where the Cornelius Fire Department? It has always been on the right-hand side. The movie's on the left across the railroad track.
Okay.
Because they have a station there. Because on the corner at the red light used to be a drugstore. And on above there was a great big grocery store. The movie was a two-story. Okay, black sit up in the balcony, white down. That was it, but wasn't it, I mean, actually, it wasn't anything for the guys to do, like the Parson boys were around the circle. They lived, they would play basketball with tennis balls.
It's creative if you don't have anything else, but sad that they couldn't even get a basketball to.
The school's only, when they're eighth grade, we only had two basketballs.
Now, when you went to Torrance Lytle, or Huntersville Negro School, did you play on teams there that played other teams in Charlotte?
We didn't play West Charlotte second one. We wasn't in that caliber.
Oh.
We had to play the country schools like Plato Price, Hinesville, Clear Creek. There might have been another. Maybe Monroe. Mm-hmm. We didn't play West Charlotte second one because in first place, those guys went to school until they were 23, 24 years old. And the guys only came out to play sports during that season. After that, well, then they were out of school.
When my dad went to high school in Texas, they had students that never graduated, and they would play football, and they had 24-year-old guys playing football on high school football teams against 15 and 16-year-olds, but they would sometimes keep them in school so they would be on their team.
But we went to Thomas Lytle. We was Huntersville. We went to Huntersville. Okay. Our senior year was the first football team.
Oh. Did you play?
I played. Okay, we got some of our equipment from the college. They gave us their used equipment. We had to buy our shoes. They gave us their pants. Something else we had to buy, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, we had a baseball team, we had a basketball team, and we had a pretty fair team according to condition. We didn't have a gym. We didn't have a gym in Dayton, we had one in Huntersville. So if it rained, the game was canceled. The ground is wet, you can't practice. We had a track team, and our first year in Huntersville was in. The guy came there with an agriculture department. We hauled grass and dirt, mined the fields, put around there to make in front of the ag building green. Well, we didn't have a lunchroom.
So did you eat lunch in the classrooms or did you not? And I know that some schools, they didn't eat lunch. They would go from like 9 to 2 and then people would go home and you just got lunch at 2 o'clock.
And Davidson was, and they had lunch. They had a lunch on the last, when I was in the eighth grade, I think they had lunch on.
Okay.
But in Huntersville, they served, you could buy milk, peanut butter sandwiches, hot dogs, hamburgers, and Simon Croquettes.
That's that little cafeteria or something that sold.
They had a little place backstage in a little room where they prepared all this.
Hmm.
And brought it around to you on trays. You had to sign up for what you wanted. Okay, I mean, like you could, maybe it might be a time you couldn't buy but one milk.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a time when Simon Croquettes, they sold like crazy. They would always run out.
Mm-hmm.
And during our senior year, our senior year especially, you got to sell lunch either once, one day or 2 days to raise money to pay for our rings. And
oh, okay, yeah.
Because our class rings didn't cost about $23.
Wow.
red, white, gold on yellow gold. I was looking, we had our 50th anniversary. One guy had his ring there, and everybody was talking about what happened to their ring. Some of them don't even know what happened to theirs. I know what happened to mine, but that ring now might cost me $400 or $500 if it wasn't made like it. But,
and how did you do dances? You must have had dances and some. Did you have proms or school dances?
We had a junior senior prom. Normally, two or three schools went together, and you had the junior senior prom. Well, back then, only juniors could go, or you could invite a girl or guy from another school. We got new buses. We got two new buses my junior year in high school. And they only had two guys that drove those two Dodge buses. We lived out in the country. And the first bus we got, we called it Bread Wagon, because it made like a
loaf of bread?
Like the, I call it maybe, what you call it, bread? Not a regular loaf of bread, the one that come over like this. It was international bus. And it's just something to break down as a run. I mean, to get to school at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, well, it wasn't no big thing. I mean, to go start home and not get there at 4 or 5 o'clock, well, that was just it. I mean.
And students drove the buses, right? And I've talked to like Ken Norton, he said that, or Joe, here at the barbershop, has said that he would pick up the Ada Jenkins kids, deliver them, and then drive himself and other high school students into Huntersville.
Kim was telling me, my niece, that she was the first female and the only bus that drove 77.
Huh.
She drove the bus. She lived, well, she parked a bus down, well, they were living in that little house. And she parked a bus over there beside the road. And she would go from there all the way up to about Mount Moore, pick up the kids, and come down 77, pick up some, and then wherever she was going. And see, Kim is no bigger than a flea. But, I mean, I was surprised. We were talking about this about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. My cousin came down. He was talking about all the things that went on in school and whatever. But I said, I didn't know they didn't have buses on 77. I was the first person that ever drove a bus on 77. And she talked about how my father made her, he bought her a car and made her change the tires 3 times so she knew how to change the tires. She said, I'm so glad. I said, I was mad, but I don't have no problem changing tires, but I can change my own tires. But my father had his ways. And
he lived in Davidson most of his life, didn't he? I mean, did he ever leave Davidson? He, obviously in the military, but then he came back, lived on
out
Crane Street. And lived
he moved out in the country for 2 years, and that house down there is in Cornelius.
So did he live in that he stayed in that house? In Cornelius until he died? Okay. And when did you leave Davidson?
I left Davidson, I went to the military in 1956. After I lost my job, I bummed around for a little while. Couldn't find a job, couldn't get a job. So I went to the military. And he was there in the house. I mean, he still lived in the house or whatever.
When you got out of the military, you came back to North Carolina, too.
I got out of the military. Well, I got married while I was in the military. And then, we got our own place. And I never came back and lived with my father. We have lived up in Sherrilltown. We have lived out in the country. We have lived in Kannapolis.
Ah, so you've moved around a bit.
We have lived in how many different places in Charlotte? About this is the third place we lived in Charlotte. So finally we were living on Carmine Street. I told my wife, I said, look, our daughter's going to high school. She'll be in ninth grade. She's staying with her mother. I said, we're going to have to get a 3-bedroom house where we're going to have all our children together. So I was out riding around in the urban community, and I was looking at this house. And Shirley Black, she used to live beside us. Mm-hmm. She came out and said, what y'all want to buy a house? I said, yeah. She said, let me call the man now. I said, I'll be back tomorrow. She said, no, I'm going to call the man now. It was on a house out there with 3 bedrooms, a den, a living room, and a kitchen.
Wow.
All the rest of them had been sold. So I got the house on the GI Bill. Payments were $154 a month. I was working for a trucking company. I worked at Central Motor. I had about 9-11 jobs. I mean, people would say maybe I had an attitude of sometimes people just don't like people when people speak up, but I moved into the house. I was in there about a month, had to have an operation before I made the first payment. Didn't know how I was going to make the first payment, but I scrambled around and made it some kind of way, and then I decided to go to school on the GI Bill. I'm going to go down to Central Piedmont and see if I can go to school. I was still working at a trucking company, so I went out and started taking classes. I wanted to go on the air conditioning refrigeration and you told me no, go on the auto mechanics. I said, look, man, I don't want auto mechanics. After he couldn't talk me out of it, then I got into air conditioning refrigeration, a class in which they sort of discriminated against. They didn't really want blacks in it. But anyway, I got in, and seemed like a few more blacks got in the air conditioning class. I thought about going to nursing, but it was a 3-year waiting period.
Wow.
So I forgot about that, but anyway. We had this one instructor says, if you apply for the license, he was on the board in Raleigh. He lived in Concord. Mr. Faust. He later died from inhaling freon over a period of time. But anyway, he said, we got a test in Raleigh. If we don't want you to have a license, you'll never get a license because there's no solution to it. He said, we only put people where we want to put people.
He just told you that?
Yeah, he told the class that.
So did you get a license?
No. Okay, you got to go to Raleigh. You got to spend 2 days. Pay for your motel, your food, and whatever. And if they don't want you to have a license, why spend all this money and time
to do it.
And then too, what happened during the course of the training, they started bringing in guys that were working in the field. They knew how to do the work, so instructors started skipping over a whole lot of
the detail that you needed to.
Yeah. And see, sometimes these guys would like the last test I took, these guys out in the field, they made out the test. I didn't pass it because I don't know whether I didn't study for it or what, but I accused them of discrimination. I said it was wrong. I said they gave all the white guys answers. There was only two of us in that class, or three. They didn't give us an answer. So, okay, they say, well, then retake the test. So they gave us a simple test of 10 questions. Okay, they gave us our degree. But I've been through, I don't know, whatever. You asked me why I didn't work for the oil mill. First place, oil mill was for you. If you could have seen those guys, they worked 12-hour shifts. If you could have seen those guys, most of the time during the summer, they have on those shirts, had a sack around them that were greasy and yellow from that cottonseed oil. It was actually for slave drivers. Even asbestos mill, the guys used to stay out of school and unload boxcars. Well, I felt like I didn't have the strength to load up one of those hand trucks with, say, 500 or 600 pounds and go up that ramp into those box cars and sling those sacks and then load up brick down. Now, my father did, when he worked for the town of Dayton, okay, he drove a garbage truck. The garbage collectors got paid $5 a day. You picked up garbage on Tuesday, you picked up garbage on Friday. So my father got to the place where he said, well, look. Told the guy in the city hall, said, look, what about paying them for Friday? If they get through at 12, pay them for the whole day. I can go do something else. So the guy would get out and hustle to get through within a half a day, but you couldn't hardly get through on Monday, on a half a day. Or Tuesday, whichever was. The guy stayed out of school, had a flatbed truck. Started out. They always had a flatbed truck with sides on about something like that. A
couple of feet high, not anything big.
You had to put the garbage on there and pack it down. We had a guy named, we call him Big Bill. Big Bill weighed about 300 and some pounds.
And he was a student at Davidson Elementary School?
Yeah. Okay. Big Bill was a packer. And you had these, this time of year where you had these 55-gallon steel drums. When it rained like this, they were full of...
wet garbage.
Right. Little worms in there about as big as your finger sometimes. And you always had to take your clothes off before you went in the house after you worked.
It sounds like you worked the garbage detail some.
I worked it. That was, when I got out of the military, I worked it. That was $10 a week with the $20 a week they would give me unemployment. That's all you got, $21. And, but anyway, my father asked for a raise, and they said, well, look, we're not going, we can't give you no $5 on a week raise. So he quit. So they had to go buy a new garbage truck. They got a white guy to drive it. It took all week just about for them to pick up the garbage. And they still had four people. Okay, my father would clean the streets, did the cemetery. If you came to town and you wanted water connection, he'd go out and help make a water connection, an electric connection. He did all this and still picked up the garbage. And I mean, well, they always say, well, then, Roosevelt has too much. Where is he getting his money from? Well, my father, even the people in Dale's Preston Church, well, he was treasurer of the church one time. My father would trade cars, or he'd go up there and that, the guy in Moore's shoe would talk him into getting a new car about every 2 years. He never paid for a car. Last car he got, he paid for it. I think he never paid for a car. When I got called back in the service, he had a 52 Galaxy Ford, burgundy. It was pretty. I drove to camp. And I was with a, I was on the National Guard outfit from Alabama. And you know what that meant. There wasn't but one other car down there with equal to it. And that was, this guy had, he was out of the north. He was a school teacher. He had an Oldsmobile 88 convertible.
Ooh.
We were GIs. But I know I came in the gate one night. And before I could get from here, probably to that red light, MP stopped me and said, I was speeding.
Because you had a good car.
The MP was from Alabama, too. So, I had to go to school, but I told my father when I came home, I said, I had a 57 Ford, turquoise and gray. That was a bad Ford. I mean, 850 tiles on the rear. But anyway, I told him something was wrong. He said, well, then take my car and I'll see what's wrong with yours. I had a good father. He was, He gave a kid his shirt off his back. But he expected a whole lot out of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just the way he was. Like, you didn't stay in the bed past 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. It also sounds like, you know, if he chose not to work in the mill, that he gave you enough ambition to say there are better things for you to do, to just be a physical worker. That
well, my father
like he may have had some expectations of you that he wanted you to do.
My father wanted me to get a job digging ditches outdoors. Yeah. After I got the military, I'm going to work in outdoors.
There's a gardener in you, wanted people outside.
I mean, in the military, yeah, yeah. I was in a signal outfit. Mm-hmm. I had spent as much as, say, a month outdoors in the rain.
Ugh.
On what we call a maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
Where you slept in a barn one time, a bunker that the Germans or French built back in World to mm-hmm. a star building. You slept in pup tents. You slept in squad tents. Where you had to take your socks off and put them in your shirt pocket mm-hmm. to have a dry pair of socks to put on. We didn't have the military equipment we should have had. Oh, shit, I would never.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't have gone back outside either.
Shit, I would not work outdoors once I get out of here. Another lesson I learned when I was in this military call-up, I got broke. I said, I would never be broke anymore. We're out there ask somebody for money. You are broke, payday was once a month. I had class Q allotment, class A allotment, because I had a kid by Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was drawing about $30, $40 a month. So, mm-hmm. you see guys going around on a pretty day eating hamburgers, drinking milkshakes, drinking sodas,
mm-hmm.
and you can't because you don't.